Galatians chapter 6. There's so much in this chapter. So many sermons have been preached. I started preaching one as I started reading my text tonight. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, it's the carnal Christian that kicks the fallen brother when he's down. The spiritual one seeks to restore. And then, of course, verse 2, bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. I have a note in my Bible here, when assaulted by doubts, don't seek an intellectual solution. Take some burden upon yourself for Jesus' sake, for where reason fails, faith will conquer. Over and over, we learn in the Bibles to be considerate of others, to be conscious of their needs and their burden. As someone has well put it, somebody's always got it worse than we do, don't we? Oh, I'm telling you, there have been times that we don't think that way, but boy, we sure should. We should take the mind of Christ and be considerate of others. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. And then it goes on, of course, in that classic verse, in verse number 7, a verse we've been quoted many times, and especially you farmers, you love this verse, amen. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Boy, I tell you, that's why we ought to be sowing good seed. We ought to be sowing gospel tracts. We ought to be sowing prayers for those that are lost. Why? Because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I think about churches who leave the old paths, ladies and gentlemen. And they have the best of intentions of winning people to the Lord. But they begin to start to sow to the flesh. And they begin to start to appeal to the flesh. Brother Horsch and I were in the office yesterday morning before calling visitation, and we were listening to an episode from 1952 of the old-fashioned revival hour. And that quartet got up there and they sang, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. And then he kicked in on the bass. Now let us have a little talk. And we were just sitting there enjoying that song. And I said to Brother Horsch, I was putting some books away. I said, Brother, ministers to the Spirit, doesn't it? Yeah. Not the flesh. Amen. If you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. It's a fact. It's a Bible truth, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, that's why we never want it to be a fleshy show up here. We want to sow to the Spirit. We want to minister to the Spirit. Verse number 9 is where we take our text tonight. It says, and let us not be weary of well-doing. Be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We see, just by way of introduction, four things in this verse. I see the command in verse 9. We're commanded here, let us not be weary in well-doing. And can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? The reason why Paul says this is because he knows it's easy to get weary. Don't we get weary? Come on, amen. Listen, I know some of you fellas, I mentioned it in prayer time, and my respect for some of you men is just, it's up here. You work 50, 60, 70 hours. You come to church. Listen, I've seen people in church. I've seen them do this. Now, I know also that they work 65 hours that week. Amen. Amen? Now, others of you that didn't work 65, got my eye on you. Amen? Doing those head nods. One of these days I'm going to get oranges and just and get a good shot. Amen? pop people there. No, listen, by the way, I'm glad you're in church nodding. If you work 70 hours, I'm glad you're in church nodding. I'm glad you think it's important enough to be in the house of God. Be not weary in well-doing. There's a command there. But there's a caution as well. Let us not be weary. And then the caution is weary in well-doing. You know, when I used to be unsaved, I was in a band, and I worked in another band, and this band traveled all over New England. Very popular band. And if you know anything about bands, they don't play at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was a drummer and a drum tech, and so the drummer is the first one there and the last one home. That's just the way it goes. They got so much equipment, so many things to do. And listen, I lived hard for the devil. I wearied myself, Brother Jim, for the devil. I wearied myself for the devil. He gives us this caution here. He says, be not weary in well-doing. Why? Because again, it's natural to become weary. So he cautions us. He not only gives us the command, he gives us the caution. He says, listen, you're going to get tired, but don't give up. Keep going. Keep sowing. I think about the runner. I mentioned this morning, in just by way of illustration, but I think of the runner. You know, the runner gets weary, but he tells himself, I got to keep going. I got to keep running. I got to keep running. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We are running a race. We're running a race. Amen? So we have the command. We have the caution. We have the consideration. What's the consideration? Be not weary in well-doing. Why? Because it's right around the bend, ladies and gentlemen. In due season, we shall reap. We shall reap. Reap in days coming. You've heard the story, I'm sure. Teddy Roosevelt was president. And he went over to Africa on a big game hunt. And he was just over there shooting stuff. Like, that's what big game hunts are, amen? And this sweet old missionary had to come off the field in Africa. And he came off the field and he just happened to be on the same boat with Teddy Roosevelt. And Teddy Roosevelt had killed, I don't know, however many lions or whatever there in Africa. And he came off the boat and the bands were struck up and everything was going. And after he left, here's this little old missionary that had given his life for Jesus. Nobody. Nothing. Not even a so much as welcome home missionary. And that missionary got to feeling bad, Brother Jeff. And he got to thinking about, you know, I've given my life for Jesus. I've given my life for Him. And now I have to come off the field because of sickness and age. And nobody's here to greet me. And he said, the sweet Spirit of God said, you're not home yet.
Amen.
You're not home yet. In due season, ladies and gentlemen. You know what it is right now? It's not due season. It's not due season. By the way, there's not a good time to quit.
Amen.
Not a good time to quit. The consideration is this. In due season. But you know what else, ladies and gentlemen? There's a condition. There's a condition. There's a command. There's a caution. There's a consideration. There's a condition. Conditions are usually found with the word if. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and will heal their land, 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us. That's a conditional promise. You know what we have here at the end of verse 9? We have a condition. What's the condition, ladies and gentlemen? We'll reap in due season if we faint not. I want to talk to you about weariness and well-doing tonight. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines weary as having the strength much exhausted by toil or violent exertion, tired, fatigued, Having the patience exhausted. Some of you Sunday school teachers know about that kind of weariness. Amen. Having the patience exhausted, or of the mind, yielding to discouragement, causing weariness, tiresome as a weary way or a weary life. The Apostle Paul here, ladies and gentlemen, under the Spirit of God, was writing to this group of churches in Galatia that he had sweet fellowship with in the gospel. Now after his three-year Ephesian ministry, he writes to encourage the brethren regarding salvation by grace through faith alone. That's what Galatians is all about. Salvation by grace through faith alone. These Judaizers were coming and they were adding things, which is called legalism, when you add something to salvation. By the way, it's not having standards. Legalism is not having standards. It's adding something to the plan of salvation. And that was what was going on. Certain Jews had come and they tried to add circumcision to salvation. I'm so glad Jude wrote, Beloved, when I desired to give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful, or constraint was laid on me by the Holy Spirit, to exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith. God here is saying, hey, look, I know it's going to be tough. I know it's going to be hard to do right. I know you're sowing and you're not seeing any results. I know that you're working that bus route and teaching that Sunday school class. But hang in there. Don't quit. Don't give up. Your reward is sure if you faint not. More and more, we see Christians fainting, falling out of the battle. Why do we get weary in well-doing? Let me, just a simple message tonight. Let me give you some causes of weariness. And then let me give you, if I could, not only some causes for weariness, but some consequences of weariness. And let me give you some cures for weariness tonight. Because we do get weary, ladies and gentlemen. We get tired. We just get tired. We get worn out. I'm 42 now. I know that's not old. Somebody say amen, please. I knew I'd get amen from this side, amen. Talk about begging for an amen, amen. Boy, I'll tell you what. The more and more I do things, the more muscles that I never knew I had begin to hurt. What is that? I didn't even know I had a muscle back there. I mentioned so many times I have the privilege of driving the bus for Truth Trackers. And it is a great privilege. I love it. I get off that bus after driving in for an hour and a half and then coming up and teaching. And then I drive another hour and a half home. And I get off that bus and I'm like, I said, my goodness, I'm. And then I go to the chiropractor the next day and my shoulder feels like it's hanging down to here, amen, from steering that big wheel. I said, that never used to happen, amen. Well, we get weary. Some of you work two and three jobs. You get weary. You get tired out. You think, my goodness, I just don't have any more strength. Let me give you some causes for weariness tonight. First of all, let's go back in our Bibles. Let's use our Bibles a little bit tonight. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel chapter 17. This is a good one. I think most of us could identify with this one. 2 Samuel chapter 17, I'm sorry. 2 Samuel 17 and then verse number 27, please. If you found your spot, say amen. Amen. If you didn't, look on with somebody that did. Amen. 2 Samuel 17, look at verse 27. It says, and it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash, and Rabbah of the children of Amnon, and Machir, the son of Ammiel. And by the way, aren't you glad I didn't make you read all these names? Amen. Of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. What's the first cause of wilderness here? Let me tell you what was going on here. They were traveling. They were traveling. Traveling will wear you out. Traveling will wear you out. Pastor Donald, will traveling wear you out? Amen. Oh, I was over at the Taverni's the other day just visiting with Brother Morris and Miss Noel and their guests that were with us this morning from Florida, Norm and, I can't remember the other... Jeanette, thank you. Amen. God bless your church. Amen. And wonderful. We're sitting there visiting, and I asked her, I said, Mrs. T, are you guys going to be making the trip to Florida this year? And she said, well, I told her, I said, listen, of course, we'd love to have you, but it was a hard winter last winter, church. Amen. And I said, I know you'd probably do better down there. And I said, but you know what? You could take that trip, and you could break it into, say, 4 days. She said, oh, no. Oh, no. She said, we do it, we go straight through. Listen, we went to Florida this year with 3 children. And we're not doing it straight through. Okay? We're not doing it. I'd get out of that vehicle after 250 miles again. You know, a comfortable vehicle too. Traveling will wear you out. Hey, you know what, folks? You know what we are? We're pilgrims. We're pilgrims. We're traveling. We're traveling through. I feel like traveling on, the hymn writer wrote. And it'll wear you out sometimes in this old wicked world. Why? You know what? Because we're citizens of another country. We get worn out. I don't know about you. I get worn out by sin. Sinful behavior. Sin on the rise, unopposed. It'll wear you out. Traveling. Something else. Not only traveling will wear you out, fighting will wear you out. Go back, you're in 2 Samuel, go to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Love this story. Yeah. By the way, you have the story, you could preach a sermon on every one of them, on David's 37 mighty men. And I think saddest of all is if you look at the last verse in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Uriah the Hittite, 37 in all. One of David's mightiest men. He had murdered. Cover up his sin. But it didn't cover it up. Look at verse number 9 and 10, please. Traveling will wear you out. What else? And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the 3 mighty men with David. These are the cream of the crop right here. When they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together in battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, and he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. And I love this. And his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. What else will wear you out? Fighting will wear you out. Fighting. My kids have this Wii game. And how many of you know what the Wii is? Some of you, you're bowlers. Okay. Yeah, not only do they have bowling, but they have boxing. Anybody ever seen the Wii boxing? So I come in the living room one day. I don't know, probably from icing my back. Amen. And I come in the living room and I see my son Luke. And he's got 2 controllers, which I guess you have to have 2 to do the boxing. And I said, what are you doing, Luke? He said, I'm boxing. I said, okay. And I said, go ahead. And that child proceeded to do what looked like an incredible dance. He was going... And he was doing that for about 30 seconds. You try that, folks. You try that. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said one time they went to a boxing trainer and he said, I want to learn to box. I want to learn to box. And the guy said, all right, hit that heavy bag for 30 seconds straight and don't stop. Guy thought, that's nothing. Boom, 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 boom. 30 seconds later, you know, they fight for 15 rounds at 45 minutes they fight. And they train 10 months to do it. Why? Because fighting will wear you out. You know, fighting for the Lord will wear you out. It'll wear you out. Whether you realize it or not, if you're a Christian and you're trying to live for God, you're under satanic assault every day of your life.
Right.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Fighting. Fighting will cause you to be weary. Traveling will cause you to be weary. Let me give you another one. Go in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Great chapter of the Bible. I remember the first year that I took Pastor Donald to Camp Victory. These were some of the chapters we memorized down there. And he told me, he said, "Pastor, I already memorized this one." Look at verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be" what, church? "Weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." You know what? We must not be weary of God correcting us. Hey, parents, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't be weary of correcting your children. Don't be weary. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. You're training them. And you know what? Training doesn't take place one time. It takes place over and over and over and over. Today I was watching the Baseball Hall of Fame had their induction ceremony, and I'd followed the three players pretty well during their careers. It was Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, and Frank Thomas that got in, and three great managers as well. And you know, two of those men were pitchers on the same team. They had 200-300 game winners on the same team. It'll never happen again, I can guarantee you. The game has changed too much. But you know what? They didn't get there on just throwing one pitch. They threw pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch until they hit the right spot, and then they did it again. Frank Thomas didn't get there, Brother Cook, by taking one swing. He had to take BP every day, every day, every day, every day. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't be weary when God corrects you. By the way, it's a wonderful thing that God corrects us. That's why He had to tell us, don't be weary. Because you know what? When God chastens us, we don't like it. It's Hebrews 12. "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. But afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness in those that are exercised." Don't be weary of God correcting. When the preacher preaches and the Holy Spirit deals with you, don't get weary about that. Don't shut Him off. Don't shut the preacher off. Amen. Amen. Why? Because He tells us, don't be weary of the correction of God. It's a wonderful thing that you have a Heavenly Father that desires to correct you. And me too. Amen. So correcting can weary us. Fighting can weary us. Traveling can weary us. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:12, "Much study is the weariness of the flesh." I can tell you from personal experience that studying, and particularly studying the Word of God, will wear you out. There'll be times where there's a spiritual battle going on in that office right there. I'm trying to study and Satan is doing everything in his power to keep me from studying. Phone will ring, something will happen, all kinds of things. Boy, but studying will wear you out. Causes of weariness: traveling, fighting, correcting, studying. Let me give you some consequences of weariness. I believe the first consequence of weariness is blessings are lost. Blessings are lost. God has something special and wonderful in store for you. And He's promised you blessings untold. But according to verse 9, those promises, those blessings, are not for those who quit. Say, I don't like that. I don't like it either. But it's still in the Bible. Amen. What does He say? If we faint not. You don't get to reap if you faint. You don't get to reap if you quit. Not all that you could. You're still a child of God. But he's got some things. You know, when I think of this, I think of Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey. And they had John Mark with them. You remember? And old John Mark got to a point there in the missionary journey where it was just too much for him. And he quit. By the way, thankfully, later on, when you read the Apostle Paul's last words, he says, "Take Mark, for he's profitable." So he had come back. But there was a period of time that God wanted to bless him and God wanted to show him things. But he lost all those blessings because he quit. I mentioned this morning the seminal cry of the preaching of chapel at Midwestern Baptist College was, "Don't quit. Don't quit. Hang in there. Tie a knot in the rope." Amen. Don't quit. Why? Because you lose blessings. Not only are there blessings lost when we quit, but also battles are left for others to fight. Battles are left for others to fight. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." But later on, in 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." You know, those are some of the saddest words in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Here's Paul, an old man of God, and he's about to complete his earthly journey, and he tells of one that left him in the midst of the battle. You know what they call that in the military? Desertion for cowardice. I wouldn't want to be guilty of that in the army. I certainly wouldn't want to be guilty of that in his army. You read the tales. I'm reading a book right now on the Battle of Tarawa. 72 hours of literally hell on earth, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? They didn't quit. You think they were weary? I sure do. I sure do. 72 hours without sleep. Anybody ever done that? I haven't done that. 72 hours. I just was doing some research on the Bataan Death March. And one fellow who was part of the death march, he said, "If I'd have known what was ahead of me," he said, "I'd have took death. But," he said, "I marched for 4 days, and no, I'm sorry, 7 days and 8 nights. Never stopped, had but one sip of water, and made it to the camp." He said, "When I got to the camp, my tongue was out. It wouldn't go back in my mouth. I was that close to death." He didn't quit. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we leave battles for other people to fight when we quit. Remember the story when Paul found out, I believe it's in Acts chapter 9, don't quote me for sure. When Paul found out, it had come to Paul's attention that there were folks that wanted to kill him. And they closed off all the city and they set guards at the gates and they were looking for him. And remember what they did? They took Paul, and he must have been a small guy, because they put him in a basket. And I don't know if it was a picnic basket, I don't think it was, amen. But they put him in a basket on the side of the wall and they let him down in the wall, in a basket. You know, what if somebody said, "You know what? I don't feel like holding this basket anymore." You know what would have happened? The person behind him would have had to go like this. That's what happens when people quit. Somebody else has to pick up and do extra and do double. Listen, ask the single mom whose husband has run off if the work gets easier when somebody quits. Because it doesn't. It multiplies on somebody else. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're in this battle together. We depend on one another. Amen. Amen. We can't quit. We can't get so weary in well-doing, we just throw in the towel. Because battles get left for somebody else to fight. Lastly, there are some consequences. And by the way, there's more. You can come up with more. Not only are blessings lost and battles left, but I believe Belial, which is another name for Satan, laughs. Belial laughs. I can just see Satan on his throne in hell and laughing and cutting up with his demonic host when every time when a child of God quits. I can see him gloating and saying, you know what? They had the Father. They had the Son of God. They had the Holy Spirit. They had the very Word of God. They had prayer. They had access to God. And I still got them to quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Teaching that, listen, don't quit that Sunday school class. Don't quit. Don't quit that bus route. Don't quit. Don't quit singing the choir. You say, I don't sing well. Listen, it's a blessing for people up there to see you singing. Amen. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit helping in that youth ministry. Don't quit in that mighty church room. Don't quit. I'm thinking of a man right now. It's my friend. I love him. Used to work a bus route. Sunday school teacher. Godly man, raising his family for God. One day he came to his pastor. Said, Pastor, you know, this getting up on Sunday morning early, it's just so hard. And by the way, I know it's tough. We got three little ones. Not easy. It's not easy. He had his little family, and his little family would go with him bus calling, Brother Jim. And they go to a tough area. And they had such a great testimony. You just see this beautiful little family. Husband, wife, little girl, and then boys. Just, you know, like the little kind of boys go, do-do-do-do-do. You know, three or four of them right there. And they'd be out there in little suits and ties and knocking on doors and bringing kids. And finally came to the pastor and he said, you know what, preacher? I just feel like we can't do that anymore. And the preacher did everything he could. And by the way, if you come to me and want to quit, I'm going to talk you out of it. I do not accept resignations. Because you know what they are? They're quitting documents. Don't accept them. But he came to the preacher, and the preacher tried, and he said, no, preacher, my mind's made up. Next thing you know, Mr. Perry, he couldn't make it on Wednesday nights anymore. Next thing you know, he couldn't make it on Sunday nights anymore. True story, folks. True story. But he said, you know what? I'll never not come on Sunday morning. Yeah. He doesn't go to church today, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. He doesn't go to church. And you know who's laughing all over hell? Belial. Satan. All because somebody got weary in well-doing. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you some cures for weariness. Let me give you some cures. We give you consequences, we give you causes. Let me give you just some simple cures for weariness. Number one, wait upon the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Waiting on the Lord isn't something we do passively. It's saying, Lord, I'm going to serve you and wait on you. Please help me, strengthen me. Wait upon the Lord. It's probably the hardest thing to do in the Christian life. Hurry up and wait. Amen. I've said that at the Secretary of State. Hurry up and wait. Your number is number 94, now serving number 4. Hurry up and wait. Amen. Wait on the Lord. He'll renew your strength. He'll give you fresh strength. He'll give you things to combat the weariness. Wait upon the Lord. Be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10 says. Exodus 14:13 says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, there's times, ladies and gentlemen, where God wants us to be still. Not to quit, but to be still. Wait upon the Lord. Be rest in the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And he said unto them, Mark 6:31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. I'm not against vacations. I think they're very, very needed. But don't take a vacation from Him when you take a vacation. Don't take a vacation from Him. By the way, it's a great opportunity to read your Bible more while you're on vacation. Draw strength from Him. Rest in the Lord. Why? Because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I'll not dwell long on this one. Rest in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Because we talked about it so much this morning. Think on the Lord. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Think about what He went through, and I'll tell you what, it's the antidote for quitting, isn't it? When we think about what He went through for us, undeserving, ungodly sinners, it helps us to say, you know what, I can carry on for Him. I can carry on for Him. I can keep teaching that class. I can keep running that bus. I can keep doing vacation Bible school. I can keep ushering. I can keep singing in the choir. I can keep serving. Lastly, what's a cure for weariness? It sounds strange, folks. Watch and work for the Lord. You say, how can working for the Lord keep me from being weary in well-doing? 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58 says, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because we have the victory, because we've already won, ladies and gentlemen, we've already won. We've already won. We're on the winning side. Our names are written in the book of life. Our seats are reserved in heaven. In view of that, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. One day, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be completely victorious over Satan, death, hell, and the grave. Tell you what, isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? God here tells us, because we have the victory, be steadfast. Don't quit, because reward day's coming. You tired tonight? I'm sure you are. Wait till next week. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Due season might be Wednesday when the Lord raptures us. Be good to be serving the Lord when He comes. Not quit. Not throw in the towel. Not hang up your cleats. Say, you know what? The Lord could come at any moment. I want to keep serving Him. He'll give you strength. He'll give you strength. He'll give you new grace for situations that come up. He'll provide for your needs. Be not weary in well-doing. Father, thank You.